Welcome to the deep dive. So, if you look back at last year, studios gambled, I mean, literally hundreds of millions of dollars on these massive blockbuster movies.
Yeah, huge bets.
Right. And these were movies that audiences swore they wanted in focus groups, and the result, totally empty theaters.
Just crickets.
Exactly. Meanwhile, these movies that absolutely no one was asking for, you know, weird little indie films with basically zero marketing budget or these super niche regional dramas, they suddenly became these massive global phenomenons.
It's fascinating.
And it happens over and over again. We hold on to this deeply romantic image of the filmmaker's gut instinct, right? Like this brilliant auteur who just gets struck by lightning.
Right, the lone genius.
But when you actually pull back the curtain, you realize that legendary instinct is often just, well, it's a well-dressed guess. So if you've ever wondered why guaranteed hits flop and how modern entertainment is actually figuring out what you want to watch, you are in the right place today. We're offering you a shortcut to understanding a seismic shift that is happening in cinema right now.
It really is a massive shift. And to understand it, we need to look at a very specific ecosystem.
Okay, where are we looking?
Well, for the last 70 years, the Indian film industry, which, by the way, is arguably one of the most vibrant and high-stakes entertainment markets in the entire world.
Yeah.
Is basically run on that exact instinct.
Just pure gut feeling.
Pure gut.
Yeah.
A producer's hunch, a director's intuition, or, you know, the undeniable gravitational pull of a massive superstar. And we have to give credit where it's due, right? That purely instinctual approach, it built the industry.
It worked for a long time.
It did. But as we're going to explore today, running an industry of that scale on pure gut feeling is rapidly running out of runway.
And our guide for this deep dive is a really compelling piece of source material. It's a declaration from spring 2026, and they explicitly note it's a declaration, not just some standard mission statement from a Mumbai-based agency called the Studio Group.
Yeah, the phrasing there is very intentional.
Definitely. The document is titled, Why Indian Cinema Needs Audience Intelligence. So our mission today is to unpack why the film industry's absolute reliance on past success is suddenly failing and, you know, how this new discipline called audience intelligence is stepping in to replace outdated superstition with actual evidence-based strategy.
The foundational thesis of this entire document really sets the stage perfectly.
What's their main argument?
The Studio Group puts it like this. The audience always speaks first, but cinema rarely listens.
Man, I love that. The audience always speaks first. But I guess it begs the question, you know, if instinct built the Indian film industry over the last 70 years, why is this old method suddenly hitting a brick wall?
Right.
The declaration argues that it comes down to a fundamental blind spot. Like, studio executives are just looking at the wrong metrics entirely.
They are. They're looking at the wrong metrics because they suffer from this fatal flaw of mistaking familiarity for true insight.
Well, that's a good way to put it. Familiarity versus insight.
Exactly. When studios are trying to figure out what to greenlight next, they rely on a concept the document calls exposure.
Exposure, meaning what exactly?
Well, they look at a star's opening weekend from their last film, or they look at a specific genre's box office from the previous year. They make all these superficial comparisons to past hits.
Right, like, oh, action movies did well last year, let's make another one.
Exactly. But what they fail to do is stop and ask the most important question, why did those past films actually work?
Okay, let's unpack this, because this is such a crucial point for you to understand if you're listening. It's like driving a car while only looking in the rearview mirror.
Oh, I like that.
Right. Just because the road was completely straight behind you doesn't mean there isn't a cliff just up ahead. You're confusing the memory of a safe road with the reality of the actual terrain in front of you.
That analogy hits the nail on the head. And the danger is really compounded by the terminology the industry uses to disguise what they're actually doing.
What do you mean?
Well, they call this reliance on the past having a feel for the market.
Oh, sure. I've got a feel for what the kids want.
Exactly. A producer will sit in a boardroom and confidently say, I just have a feel for this project. But the declaration just strips that away completely. It argues that this isn't strategy at all.
No.
No, it is capital. Literally millions of dollars risked on superstition that is just dressed up as strategy. The audience has evolved much, much faster than the people studying it.
Wow.
And relying on yesterday's hit to predict tomorrow's desire is just a recipe for disaster now.
Okay, so if looking backward is a trap, if that rearview mirror is going to send you straight off a cliff, how on earth do creators actually look forward?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right. If I'm a producer, how do I see what the audience wants before they even know they want it themselves?
That requires shifting your focus from the noise to the signal.
The signal.
Yeah. Because culture doesn't just tap you on the shoulder and announce itself. It doesn't send out a press release saying, hey, everyone, we're all going to really love a very specific type of existential sci-fi romance next year.
That would make things a lot easier for studios if it did.
It really would. But instead, culture leaves quiet signals. By the time a trend actually has a name, by the time everyone in the trade press is talking about it, it is already what financial markets call priced in.
The opportunity is already gone.
Exactly. The goal of true audience intelligence is to notice that signal before it becomes a headline.
And the source gives some incredible, highly specific examples of what these early signals actually look like. They aren't looking at who bought a ticket to a mainstream blockbuster, right? Yeah. Because that's the noise.
Yeah, exactly. That's just noise.
They are looking at highly specific digital behavior. They're looking at what audiences actually finish watching on streaming platforms versus what they abandon halfway through. And my absolute favorite metric from the text, they are looking at the things people secretly rewatch at 1 a.m.
Oh, the 1 a.m. rewatch is arguably the most powerful metric we have today.
It's so revealing.
It really exposes the massive chasm between what we claim to like and what we actually consume when all the social pressure's off.
It's so true. Look, I mean, if you ask me in a polite focus group what I've been watching lately, I'm going to tell you I'm catching up on, you know, critically acclaimed, subtitled documentaries.
Of course. Very highbrow.
Obviously. But at 1 a.m. on a Tuesday, I'm 5 episodes deep into a terrible reality dating show.
We all are.
Right. And the data doesn't care about my ego. It also mentions the revealing gap between a trailer's view count and its actual ticket sales. Like, a million people might watch a trailer just to see what the hype is about on social media, but that doesn't translate to a million tickets sold.
Right, because clicking on a 2-minute spectacle on your phone is a very, very low friction action.
It takes zero effort.
Exactly. But leaving your house, paying for parking, buying a ticket, and committing 3 hours of your life, that requires a completely different level of emotional investment. And audience intelligence understands that distinction.
But let me push back on this a little bit, because I can hear the alarm bells going off for anyone who really loves the art of cinema. Isn't this just data for data's sake?
I hear that a lot.
Like, if we are just tracking every single pause, rewind, abandoned stream, and late night binge, aren't we just turning the magic of art into a giant soulless spreadsheet? Are we going to end up with movies that are basically written by algorithms?
That is the exact fear most creatives have. And honestly, it's a completely valid concern.
Yeah.
But what's fascinating here is how the studio group explicitly warns against doing exactly that.
Oh, they do.
Yes. They state clearly that numbers without interpretation are just noise wearing a suit.
Noise wearing a suit. That is a great phrase.
It is. Because if you hand a massive spreadsheet of watch time data to a creative director, it's totally useless. True audience intelligence isn't about worshiping the data. It treats numbers as questions about human behavior, not as final answers.
Okay, so it's the interpretation that makes it human.
Precisely. It requires the patience and the humility to watch the audience closely. If the data shows that a massive chunk of the audience stops watching a movie at minute 42, the algorithm just says minute 42 is bad.
Cut, minute 42.
Right. But audience intelligence asks, why did they leave? Did the pacing suddenly change? Did a character make an unbelievable choice? Did the tone shift from a thriller to a melodrama? You use the data to ask better creative questions.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's not a spreadsheet dictating the script. It's a tool to understand the audience's psychological state.
Exactly.
Now, knowing how to look for these quiet signals is one thing, but we also have to figure out where they are happening. And the declaration points out that this requires throwing out the old global playbook entirely. You have to look at highly specific niche loyalties.
If we zoom out and look at the broader picture of how we consume media today, the rise of streaming hasn't just fragmented our attention. It hasn't just scattered us across a million different shows.
What has it done?
It has actually concentrated our loyalty into smaller, fiercer pockets.
Huh.
These intensely loyal niche audiences simply do not show up on traditional, broad, box office charts that look for some mythical, average viewer.
And the text gives a fantastic real-world example of this, specifically looking at the landscape of Indian cinema. India is not one single audience.
Not at all.
It's dozens of distinct, massive audiences all occupying the exact same release calendar. The declaration points out that a Telugu action epic and a Malayalam family drama are not actually competing for the same seat.
And yet, the traditional trade press, because they're relying on outdated models, they often treat them as if they are locked in a zero-sum battle.
Like there can only be one winner.
Right. They look at the total number of theater screens in the country and just assume every single film is fighting for the exact same viewer. But they aren't.
Because the mechanics of why those audiences go to the theater are completely different.
Exactly.
A Telugu action epic might serve a massive communal theatrical event urge. Like the audience wants the spectacle and the shared energy of a packed house cheering together.
They want the event.
Right. But a Malayalam family drama, that might serve a deeply narrative, intimate viewing urge. You can't just mash them together on a spreadsheet and compare the numbers.
Which is exactly why global frameworks, which are almost always trained on Western Hollywood release patterns, fail completely in this environment.
They just don't translate.
No, because a Hollywood model assumes a relatively homogeneous weekend drop across the entire country. But India has distinct linguistic release windows, local holiday schedules, and deep-seated regional loyalties.
And the text highlights an amazing phenomenon regarding these regional dynamics. It points out that a film might open very modestly in one language, totally flying under the national radar, only to completely dominate a festival calendar in an entirely different language 18 months later.
Yes, the delayed crossover effect.
It's wild. Let's say a modest tunnel release doesn't break national box office records. But a year and a half later, it goes viral in South Korea, or it dominates a European indie festival because of a highly specific niche crossover in its thematic elements. If you are only looking at the opening weekend in Mumbai, you completely miss the real value of that film.
That's why the source insists that cultural intelligence has to be built for how audiences actually behave in specific places. You have to understand the specific emotional triggers of the viewer in Chennai, the viewer in Kolkata, the viewer in Guwahati.
You have to know them.
Yes, you cannot rely on a generic model that averages everyone out.
Which honestly feels incredibly empowering for anyone trying to create something new right now. Like, if you're a new filmmaker or producer listening to this, the takeaway is that specificity is not a limitation.
No, not at all.
Specificity isn't something holding you back from a mass audience. Specificity is the entire discipline. You don't have to win everyone over, you just have to deeply, profoundly understand someone.
That is the core of modern entertainment right there. Nailing that specific regional niche loyalty is the only stable foundation to actually build on.
So we've diagnosed the problem with the blind spot, and we've identified this new landscape of niche signals. Let's pivot to some truly actionable advice. How can a creator actually pull this off without falling back into the trap of those polite focus groups?
Well, the first step requires unlearning some deeply ingrained industry habits. The studio group warns strongly against traditional market research.
The dreaded clipboards.
Exactly. We all know what that looks like.
Yeah.
You put a dozen people in a sterile conference room after a film is already made, you give them a clipboard, and you ask them what they think they want.
Right.
But human psychology just ruins this process.
How so?
People in those rooms are hyper-aware they're being watched. They want to be polite to the moderator, or they want to sound sophisticated to the other people in the room.
Like me pretending I only watch documentaries.
Exactly. They do not give you the truth.
So, to get the truth, the declaration says you have to apply what they call a discipline of attention. And they break this practice down into four core movements. It's basically a four-step, evidence-based strategy for modern production. Movement number one is observe.
Right. Before you ever ask an audience to explain what they want, you simply watch what they do. You observe the organic behavior. What are they finishing? What are they abandoning? What are they ignoring completely, despite heavy marketing?
So if we imagine a hypothetical indie sci-fi script, observing isn't asking a focus group if they like sci-fi. Observing is looking at the streaming data and seeing that audiences who watch sci-fi are currently re-watching a lot of gritty, low-budget character dramas at 1 a.m.
Exactly. Which brings us to movement number two,
Thank you.
interpret.
Okay, interpret.
Once you observe that data, you have to remember that a number is not an answer. You have to read the pattern as meaning, never as absolute proof. It's just a behavioral breadcrumb.
Going back to our hypothetical sci-fi script, if you see that high trailer view count but low ticket sales, interpreting the signal means realizing the audience likes the visual spectacle for 2 minutes on their phone, but the story isn't compelling enough to get them to actually drive to the theater.
And that realization triggers movement number three, validate. Instinct deserves better evidence than memory.
Ooh, I like that.
Before the money actually moves, before a studio greenlights a $50 million budget, you have to test your hunch against the signal.
So what does that validation actually look like in practice? Like, how do you test it?
Well, it could mean running small, targeted digital ad tests with different thematic artwork to see which specific emotional hook gets the highest click-through rate. Or it could mean analyzing the engagement on adjacent micro-budget content on YouTube that shares the same themes.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for a pulse before you commit the heavy resources.
And finally, movement four, decide. You've observed, interpreted, and validated. Now you make the call. And the text is clear that the goal here isn't absolute certainty, because in art, certainty doesn't exist.
Never has.
The goal is simply to have better odds. You are moving the green light away from pure belief and moving it toward evidence.
I think the progression of those four steps is what really separates a gamble from an investment.
You know, I want to pause on this framework because it really clicked for me when I thought about it through a specific lens.
Oh, yeah.
Think about the instinct a truly great film editor has. A great editor can watch a raw scene and just feel that it isn't working. The pacing is off. Maybe a reaction shot is missing, or the emotional beat just didn't land.
Right. It's an intuitive sense of rhythm.
Exactly. What this audience intelligence does is take that exact same editorial instinct, but instead of applying it to a single frame of a movie, it applies it to the scale of an entire market. You are treating the audience the way a good director treats an actor, as someone who has so much more to say than what the script currently allows them to say.
That is a brilliant way to frame it. You're giving the audience the space to communicate their true, messy, complex preferences, rather than forcing them to choose from a limited pre-approved menu you've already decided on.
Right.
But this entire shift raises an unavoidable question, which the declaration addresses head-on at the end.
What's that?
What happens if the industry just ignores all of this? What if executives just keep relying on the old superstitions in the rearview mirror?
Right. What are the actual stakes if a studio refuses to adapt?
The collateral damage is devastating.
Yeah.
The studio group outlines a very grim reality. When a film misreads its audience today, it doesn't just fail quietly. It fails publicly, and it fails expensively.
It's all over social media in an hour.
Exactly. The speed at which word of mouth travels now means a bad bet is exposed in hours, not weeks.
And it isn't just the studio executives losing money on a spreadsheet. The text is very clear about the human cost of this failure. When a film misses the mark because no one bothered to listen to the audience, it hurts every single person attached to the project.
Absolutely everyone.
It's the talented actor whose range is totally misjudged by the public because they were cast based on an outdated algorithm. It's the composer whose brilliant score gets completely buried because the marketing plan was built for a totally different movie. And it's the local theater owner, the person actually operating in the community, who kept a screen open on Tear Faith only to end up staring at an empty room.
When you connect all of those individual failures to the broader state of the Indian film industry, the takeaway is pretty stark.
Yeah.
Indian cinema is not suffering from a lack of talent. It has no shortage of ambition and certainly no shortage of capital. What it lacks is listening. And specifically, listening done early enough to actually matter.
Before the cameras start rolling.
Yes. By the time the movie is in theaters, the money's already spent defending a decision that no one bothered to validate.
That is the real tragedy. The gap between what actually gets made and what audiences actually want to watch is widening every single year. And as the declaration points out, that gap carries a massive cost. Someone is going to close it. The only question is, who is going to get there first?
The audience has been leaving signals this entire time. It's simply a matter of who is finally going to have the humility to start listening back.
So bringing this all together for you, if you're listening, we've taken a real journey through the mechanics of modern entertainment today. We started by looking at an industry running on the fumes of past familiarity executives, driving forward at 100 miles an hour while staring fixedly into the rearview mirror.
Waiting for the cliff.
Exactly. We explored why the traditional exposure metrics fail to capture the true why behind a hit.
We then looked at how to actually read the quiet signals of culture, the 1 a.m. rewatches, the abandoned streams, and why interpreting that data as a question rather than a final answer is the key to keeping the humanity in the art.
From there, we threw out the global playbook and saw how fiercely loyal regional niche audiences, like the distinct theatrical ecosystems of Telugu and Malayalam cinema, prove that you have to understand the specific behavioral mechanics of a local audience.
And finally, we broke down the four movements. Observe the behavior, interpret the meaning, validate the hunch, and decide with better odds. Moving from the well-dressed guest to actual evidence-based cultural intelligence.
It is a massive paradigm shift. But before we go, we always like to leave you with something to chew on, something that takes these ideas one step further.
As we close this out, I want you to think about the ultimate logical conclusion of everything we've just discussed. If true audience intelligence is deep, unblinking observation of our hidden behaviors, our late-night rewatches, our abandoned streams, if it can expose what we secretly love before we even have a name for it, what does that mean for the future of our own personal tastes?
Oh, wow.
Are we about to enter an era where cinema and the technology behind it knows our deepest emotional desires better than we know them ourselves?
Wow, that is an incredibly provocative thought to end on. Thank you so much for exploring these insights with us on this deep dive. Keep looking for those quiet signals in your own daily life. And the next time you hear someone talking about a guaranteed recipe for success based on what worked yesterday, remember, just because the road was straight behind you doesn't mean there isn't a cliff right up ahead. Catch you next time.